We're going to pray. Lord, your word now would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Hide it in our heart, Lord. The Lord's kind of had me in 1 John a lot this week. And really didn't understand what he was saying today, but I kind of think conversation that Father Ron and I had back there, just to reemphasize to us what he's been speaking to us a long time here at Christ the King. And it's just the power of what happens here, the power of the Eucharist. When we say Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, we say that every day. We're not saying that Christ will come again one day, even though we know he will. What we're literally saying is Christ will come again in a few moments right here. Again. You know, to appear before us in the body and the blood. A mystery you can't understand. But you can definitely experience it and enjoy it. And I think if we would get that as a body, they would be standing room only. You know, if we knew that Jesus was going to appear here and speak to us, right? That was going to happen. You mean you'd have to get here a few days early, right? You see? And Daniel had some insight into that years ago. He wrote that book, and God gave him some insight into the tactics of the enemy. And he said the enemy would steal the regular sacrifice. And Daniel probably didn't know what he was writing about, but he's done a really good job of taking that away from the church and the body because of the power. If you're an enemy and you attack the enemy, then you're going to take away the thing that's the most powerful, right? And you're going to knock out their ability to attack you back, right? If we went to war with North Korea, we would just knock out all his abilities to launch his nuclear missiles, right? We just take them out. So he's done a really good job of taking that away from us. In the book of 1 John here, I'll tie this in, even though it doesn't actually talk about it, but it does talk about his appearing. As for you, in chapter 2, verse 27, the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. The Holy Spirit abides in you, is what he's saying to them. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But his anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, teaches you about all things. He's writing this to a group of people. Again, we talked about that Sunday, just the heresy that was going on. He was really trying to talk to them about the importance of their walk with God, his presence within them. It's going to make a difference in your life. And here, I really love this because his anointing dwells in us, it lives within us. And a lot of people I know have taken that verse literally as to them personally, and they go off and say, I don't have any need for anybody to teach me. The Holy Spirit can teach me anything I don't need to know. Well, good luck to you with that one, right? Because you're fixing to get into some real serious era. Because we need each other. Okay, that's still not what I'm talking about. Now, little children, verse 28, abide in him, so that when he appears, again, when you see this word appears, this word in the Greek literally means now. When he is appearing to you. Right? Not when he appears one day and we see him, you know, in the eastern sky and we go, he caught up with him in the air and that kind of thing. No. It means, that term literally means now. So when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his appearing, at his coming. And that word literally means in his presence. So God, in other words, be people that live in God's presence. Because if you're not, when he kind of shows up, what's the first thing you're going to do is shrink away, right? Think, oh my gosh, I really haven't been walking with you or living for you. Like Peter, when first thing he met with Jesus, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Those are kind of things that will actually probably happen to us. So he's saying to keep yourself from doing this, live in his presence. Okay. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him, is born again. Again, they had the problem with people not practicing righteousness and saying that you don't have to practice righteousness. Okay? He's saying that Jesus is righteous, and he practices righteousness, okay? We're kind of losing that nationally as the church. You know, that this, which we'll see here in a minute, sin is lawlessness, you know, and without law. And we're kind of having to battle that as the body of Christ. Still not what I'm going to talk about. All right, chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us or recognize us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared, that word again, as what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, right now, we'll become like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. And that word "see" is perceived with inward, with spiritual perception. You got to have the eyes of the Spirit to be able to see it. But when He appears, you see it. And you'll become like Him, because you will see Him as He is. Okay? It's an amazing transformation that takes place. And everyone who has or possesses this hope purifies himself just as He is pure. You possess this, right? You own it. You really believe it. Then what happens is you begin to purify it. There's a purity that starts taking place within your spirit. You become the transformation. We don't know how it happens. You start becoming Christ-like, right? When He appears, you'll see Him as He is. You'll experience Him as He is. If you have this hope on Him, expectation on Him, then what happens is you and I start becoming pure, get purified, right? In His presence. Now, this works with our daily walk with God, because when we spend time with Him, He appears, right? He really does. He's there. His presence is there. Whether we can sense it, sometimes we can really sense it. I can sometimes. Sometimes I can't. But it doesn't mean He's not there, right? Okay. Our sensor has nothing to do with it. Everyone who practices sin or lives in sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You see that? That's the evidence. Don't have to preach on that. You know that when He appeared, when He appeared, in order to take away sins, lift off sins, and in Him there is no sin. Well, He appeared to take it off of you, right? Take the penalty, we know that. He took the penalty of it off of us, right? And He wants to take the very presence of it off of us too, the power of it off of us, okay? He appeared so that He could set you free from the power of sin, okay? Know that that's not new to us, but it's good, right? And He appears in our lives to do that continually, right? He appears to you in your time with, alone with Him. That thing still takes place. He purifies you. He lifts what sin has run to you, right? Have you ever been just like the way of the world or whatever has just gotten you beaten down? Jesus steps in, speaks a word to you, lifts it off of you. There you go. Right? That's what He's doing. No one who abides in Him sins, that means sinless. You're abiding in Him, you're not living in sin. Okay? No one who is living in sin, what that word literally means, knows, has seen Him or actually knows Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin or lives in it is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. Okay. But the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Okay. That word destroy is to loose, release, and unbind. Loose, release, and unbind. And He came to destroy the works of the devil. Where am I going with all this? So it's probably no greater time. Because Jesus said in John chapter 6, if you go back and read that, it caused a lot of controversy even with those who followed Him. Because He said something very bizarre. You know, he who eats My flesh and drinks My blood will abide in Me. People say, well, that means to believe. No, it doesn't. That word means to chew, right? To partake, to eat. He said right before that, believe. Okay? That word means to chew, to eat. Just like they did with the Passover. Guess what they did with the Passover? they consumed it. Right? In the Old Testament. So he's talking about these guys saying, so you're telling us you're the bread from heaven, and we're going to have to consume you. Yes, and the church always believed it was just as exactly as Jesus said it was. Okay? That's an appearing every day that we get to encounter. We know that, heard it here. What the church always believed is the same power that was there at Calvary was present here every day at the Eucharist. That he appears. Okay? He still is appearing in order to take away sin. He's still appearing every day to destroy the works of the devil in our lives. To loose, to unbind, and to set free. Every day. So without raising your hands, I know a lot of you, have experienced that here, right? You've experienced some freeing, some loosening, and some setting free. Because of his presence is here to do that. It's just an ongoing thing. He's continually lifting that off of you. He's continually setting you. Right? Every day right here. So it doesn't matter. Don't mind, I was talking about that earlier. You know, it seems like, you know, and I'm guilty of that too, when the, you know, cat's away, the mice play. You know, bishop's not here, the numbers simply dwindle. And it's not about him. That's the reason in our church we have an altar right there and we don't have a pulpit. It's not about man. Right? It's about him. The altar of heaven, Jesus himself. That's the reason we have that up there to remind us that touchdown Jesus there, that Jesus shows up every day. By faith, he's appearing. When he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope on him purifies himself. This is it. So if you go back and read this, what I read to you today, apply them to your encounter every day in the Eucharist, then it'll build your faith that a lot more is going on there than you can see. But if by faith you see it, then you will encounter it more and more. Right? When I was healed of my 7 years of migraines, it was here. At this altar. That's where the Lord, and I had a guy who doesn't really believe in the power of the Eucharist, prophesy to me that when you get healed, it's going to be in context with the Lord's Supper or something like that, he was saying, the year before it happened. Just want to encourage you. Again, I didn't know why I was reading all that today, and the Lord just so tied into this. That's where my appearing is the greatest. Because he appeared to us in our time alone. His appearing here is much greater. So if there's areas where you need to be, loosen, let go, lift it off, believe it. He's here to do that. He's here to destroy the works of the devil. Today, for you, individual. Amen. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.